Greetings and welcome, everybody. It's Great American Golf. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, my goodness, 26 years and running. Someone said the other day, Ray, you're the longest running golf radio show in the world. I said, I don't know about that. I said, that's a joke. And then they said, well, probably the USA. And I said, well, I don't know about that either. Well, at least Phoenix, Arizona. And I said, well, maybe very well, yes. That could very well be. We'll have to check on it. I'm not worried about it. I don't think the amount of time on the air is so important as the content and everything that we do to inform and educate and have fun with you listeners. Thank you so very much for joining. And I've got a great one for you today. Tomorrow's Derby Day, the Kentucky Derby. I got my graduate degree in Louisville, Kentucky, and I did get to go to the Kentucky Derby. And I got to tell you, it's one of those, I think they call them bucket list things to do. So much fun. It's a beautiful, beautiful event. And it's fabulous. I've got a wonderful guest who is on standby with us. Dr. Bob Denny is joining me. He's the PGA of America's historian emeritus. Craig is off today. He is fast at work, minute by minute by minute. He was back to back all day, could not join us. Don't forget, also here in the Phoenix area, the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show is going on. We go to all of those shows. We love them. We're friends with a lot of the people that put the show on and so many of the vendors that are there. My wife and I love going, and it's today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So you might bump into me if you go out to Westworld. That's where it is this time, the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show. Well, I've got some more things to talk about a little bit later in the show. We're going to look at all the world's leaderboards. But Dr. Bob, right now, I want to introduce someone that is, he's a very special person to me. And the reason why Charlie Belgian is so special is because not only played on the PGA Tour for a number of years, he won on the PGA Tour. Charlie Belgian had some personal issues that he had to deal with. And if he wants to talk about that, he can. He's been very open about it on all of his videos and his social media. Charlie Belgian took some time off to put his life in order. He is a fellow brother in the faith and a man that I love to follow. His videos are, well, they're iconic. And he's so open and honest about everything that I have to say that he helps so many different people out there that when you check in with Charlie Belgian on his social media and his videos, or if you go get a lesson from Charlie, you're in for a treat. You are. And you're in for some personal building time. Charlie, I want to get you on right away. I know that you're busy and you've got a lesson coming up in a few minutes, but you took the time out after Charlie, I tell you what, this PGA Club Championship at Bandon Dunes this last week, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but just watching it on TV beat me up. I cannot even imagine what you all went through with that wind. It just beat the heck out of you guys. So we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want to start with you, Charlie, playing on the PGA Tour, winning on the PGA Tour, and then some things happened in your life. What happened that caused you to step away for a while?
Well, good afternoon, sir. I appreciate you having me. I'm just double checking. Can you hear me and everything's okay?
Oh, yeah. We see you and hear you great. You bet.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm just sitting in my car in the parking lot at Las Cindas Golf Club where I teach at here in the Valley. I got a lesson at 4 o'clock. I appreciate you having me on. Glad we could make it work. So, yeah, fortunate enough to play on the PGA Tour, fortunate enough to win on the PGA Tour. What people don't realize is when everybody thought I was living my dream of playing on the PGA Tour, getting there, you know, being on TV, playing all the great golf courses, inside I was miserable, I was scared, I was full of depression and anxiety, which led me down a road of alcoholism, and I just celebrated 66 months of sobriety on Wednesday of last week. Biggest accomplishment of my life, hands down.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you. So where do I start, man? I mean, yeah, I was living a childhood dream. I was achieving goals. But at the same time, I hated the person that I was. I hated what I was doing. I hated being on the road. I call the hotel rooms that I was in jail cells because that's what they felt like. And the only escape that I knew, unfortunately, was alcohol. And alcohol turned into be the biggest part of my life. And I would drink until I fell asleep. And then I'd wake up in the morning and I'd pop the Xanax and shoot the Zoloft and
Jeez.
maybe an airplane bottle before my 8 a.m. tea time on the PGA Tour. And so, I was supposed to be living my dream. In reality, I was living a nightmare.
How did
But
your
they found.
family, handle that during that time?
Well, it caused a divorce the first time around. I'm lucky enough to have a incredible woman by my side now who's been with me. We've been together 10 years. So she came along when my son was about 10 months old and stepped in. Was an amazing woman. That's how I knew there was a higher power, because what I put this woman through and the way that I treated her, no woman should have ever stood by my side through that. And that's when I learned that there had to be something bigger than us, because that gave her the encouragement and the power and the strength to get through what I was putting her through. And now she's my rock. She's my everything. She's the reason I got sober. And it's just been an incredible journey full of ups and downs, just like golf, just like, and golf is so comparable to life because it's not easy, man. Some days you think you have it and you have it figured out. And then all of a sudden you get hit with a roadblock and you gotta find a
Yeah.
different route. And that's what I was lucky enough to be able to do.
Charlie,
And
when did you embrace your faith that you are so open about?
So 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now is when I got baptized. My wife sat in church for 10 years while on Sundays I was drinking, doing drugs, having the guys over. She'd come home from service at 10 a.m. We were three sheets to the wind. She would ask me to go to church with her. I'd go to church with her. Then she'd tell me not to come because I made it so unenjoyable for her. And now we don't even ride together to church because if we go to the 9 a.m. service, I want to leave at about 7:30. I want to get on campus. I want to feel the energy and his presence and talk to the people. And it's really just changed my life for the better. And I just try to share my story out loud for those suffering in silence. And being an authentic, vulnerable human being on social media has taken me to places I would have never thought, open doors that I couldn't even imagine would have been open just from being an authentic person. Social media is everybody's highlight reel of what's going on in their life and how great their life is. And they never share their struggles. And I'm the guy that's sharing my struggles and letting you know that, hey, I used to be able to hit a golf ball really good and people put me on a pedestal, but I had my own flaws and I went through the same thing that every other human being goes through. And I was fortunate enough to be able to hit rock bottom and peel myself off and become this incredible man that only God could have made me into. And it's just been an awesome journey. And like I said, now to share my story on social media. And growing up, I had so many mentors, and they always shared with me that giving is way better than receiving. And I'm like, that cannot be true.
It is.
Now that I have found God and Jesus, and I just try to give all my time to everybody else, because whether it's letting them hit a golf ball for the first time or they've made it sober for their first 24 hours of their week, those are the moments that fulfill my heart more than making a putt or signing a big paycheck or anything like that. It's helping my fellow peers and my fellow brothers and sisters, getting a better grasp on their life and giving them direction. That's what my purpose is.
Charlie, did you go through some organization or some treatment or something to get off alcohol for 66 months?
I did not. Back in January, I went to an AA meeting with my mom to collect her 25-year chip. I grew up pulling the wine glass out of my mom's hand, saying, "I would never be like you. You're horrible. I would never be like you." And I ended up 10 times worse. For
Oh,
me,
my goodness.
I've always, here's a funny story for all the people, but I'm playing in the Greenbrier one year over there in West Virginia, and I'm hitting balls next to Tom Watson. And I've got this crazy cough going, and I'm sucking down a cigarette. And Mr. Watson turns around towards me and says, "Hey, you know, kid, that cough might go away if you quit those cigarettes." And I looked at my caddy and I said, "Ricky," I said, "this is the last time I'm ever going to smoke a cigarette." And he got this belly laugh because at the time, I was a pack a day, maybe two, if things really went bad on the golf course. And in that moment, I had my last cigarette, and I've never touched one. It's been like 12 years now,
So
and so
you have
I
that
have.
personality, that mental toughness, that you have that kind of resolve that you can just drop it.
I can drop it.
And
I'm
that's
an
what you
off.
did with alcohol too. One day you just never drank again.
I told my wife that I would never have a drink again. She's only heard that 1,000 times, and so for me, I would start shaking around 2 o'clock. I'd put some headphones on and I'd go for a walk, listening to sober podcasts and how people change their lives. And some days those walks would be 2 miles and the urge would go away. Some days they'd be 15 miles or well into the night, but that's how I did it. Now, AA is a wonderful thing. I've been to a bunch of meetings with people. I thoroughly enjoy going to AA, but that is not how I did it.
Do you stay in touch with some other fellow believers out on the tour? You know, there's many, 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 many of the PGA Tour players that are very strong believers. You know, Tom Lehman comes to mind, Bernard Langer. There's many others. Do you stay in touch with any of them, or have they given you any sort of help along the way or a leg up at all? What about that?
You know what? I didn't even know who believed back then, because not that I didn't believe, but that just wasn't part. But as I've shared my story, I'm talking guys, Stuart Sink,
Yes.
Webb Simpson,
Yes.
Aaron Baddeley, Ted Scott, Scottie Scheffler, all those guys have been just as gracious and as open as they can,
Isn't
and
that
just
wonderful?
it's been just incredible. And so with their open arms, and I've just continued to embrace it and try to share it, because it changed my life. I'm not one of these guys. I'm not going to sit here and you're not going to hear me preach about something that I've never done. I'm going to tell you, hey, I've either done it and failed at it, or I've done it and it's worked. And between being sober and finding Jesus, I pretty much feel unstoppable.
Yeah. Now, Charlie, I know that you teach at Los Cindis here during the winter months, but then you go up to one of my favorite places in the world. You go to Torreon, correct?
Yes, sir. I go to. I'll be heading that way in about
Absolutely.
3 weeks.
I absolutely love Torreon. Now, have you got a place up there, or do you go back and forth? What do you do?
You know how God works. I built a place up there before I even considered teaching, and I think of that Kevin
Wow.
Costner movie, "If you build it, they will come." And I build a home, and then before I know it, they're offering me a teaching position up there. So
Wow.
I'm the only teacher up there. I run the junior programs. I take care of all the members. The members are so incredible and gracious and supportive. I had no idea what to expect. They've knocked it out of the park. 36-hole world-class facility, Robert Van Hagee design. It's
Absolutely beautiful.
just incredible up there.
In the
So I'm
pines.
Pete.
So, Charlie, can I beg you to let me come this summer when it's 150 degrees here and sleep on your patio?
Anytime you want to come, you're more than welcome. The door's always open.
Well, I may take you up on coming up and just hanging around a little bit for a few hours or getting a lesson from you. I know that Dr. Bob Denny is here and he wants to ask you a couple of questions. Let's get to this PGA Club Championship because I know you play in various events around the country. I don't I, let me just ask you this question before Dr. Bob. Are you working your way at all back to maybe debuting back on the PGA Tour? Are you waiting for the Champions Tour possibly? Or are you just happy doing what you're doing, playing in events here and there and teaching?
I 100% am not trying to get back to playing full time. That was a thing of the past. I didn't enjoy it because I was an alcohol, anxiety-ridden, depressed human being. But being at Bandon Dunes, sitting in that hotel for a week, that was 1 week. If I had to go do 3 or 4 more weeks like that, to be honest, I'm kind of nervous that I could go back down the road. The Champions Tour is my next thing. However, I don't think the Champions Tour will exist in 9 years, so I'm not going to hang my hat. I've built a life now for me, teaching people, helping people, doing speaking engagements, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
There he is, Charlie Belgian, Dr. Bob, take off.
Charlie, it's a pleasure to be on the same program with you. There's so many others in history that have never been able to achieve what you have, which is called the redemption and so forth. And I don't want to go into it, listing them all, obviously, but I'm just curious about when you did this on your own, was there any type of things that you might have used as a reading tool or something like that that people could draw upon?
It was literally different podcasts that I would listen to. And then the guy named, Steve Harvey, that hosts Family Feud, funny comedian. I still almost daily go to YouTube and type in Steve Harvey God and his speeches about his life and living out of a car, and just his delivery and preaching is really been my go-to. I don't have anything specific, I bounce around different ideas and different methodologies and try those types of things. But at the end of the day, no, man, it's just continually putting positive things in my life to where I can only focus on the positive and not the other side. And it's been truly remarkable that I've been able to do it by myself. I've sent many people to rehab that cost a lot. I've sent many people to AA. I've tried to help many people. So there's not one right or wrong way to do it. The thing that matters is that you're trying. And I was lucky enough to never fall off the train. I help a lot of people that do all fall off the train, and I have a tough time sympathizing with them because I didn't. And I think the hardest thing is getting people to believe that, boy, there's a life on the other side of it that you have no idea how incredible it is. But
Wow.
it truly is amazing. But when you're in that deep, dark hole, you don't think there's a way out. But that's just what I continue to do, is each day I dedicate a little time and energy to refreshing my mind on all those wonderful things.
But Charlie, there's people in life that have won majors between the ropes. I think you won majors outside the ropes.
People, for how I played the other day at Bandon Dunes, people thought I was heartbroken. I had dinner and I was over it, because I'm winning at life now. And if I lost at golf, that's okay, because in golf you're a loser. The vast majority, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, best player in the world, most dominant player in the world, that guy loses more than he wins, but we consider him a massive winner. But for me, winning at life right now is way more important than winning at golf, and that'll happen if it's supposed to.
Right.
My favorite thing that I fall back to is Proverbs 16:9, where it talks about, as humans, we in our heart, desire our past, but it's God's footsteps and steps that really choose our path. And when I
Wow.
really started to understand that He chose my path, it really allowed me to free up in golf and just swing the club instead of thinking that I controlled the outcome. And I knew going into that last day it was going to be difficult, and I enjoyed the day so much, even though it didn't go my way, because at the end of the day, it wasn't meant to go my way. And I truly have that perspective, and it makes everything in life so much more enjoyable to know that I don't control the outcome. As much as I want to, I don't. And it's really freed me up.
Charlie, when I looked at the television and I saw you there, and I was so excited for you, and another great friend of mine and a longtime acquaintance, another man of faith, played with you there for the first couple of days, Jesse Mueller. And I'm sure you know Jesse, and he's such a great guy, and he's been on this show so many times with me. And I'm going to beg you to sit down with me and do a television show together, because I want to put 30-minute episode out for all the world to see about you and your story. We'll do that in the future. But I looked at that golf tournament and I looked at Bandon Dunes and I thought to myself, I never want to go there and play golf, because all it looks like is like a nightmare. And
It's
I was tired just watching you guys. It was beating you up. The wind was just tearing you to pieces. Tell us about it. Was it as bad as I thought, or what?
Yeah, my face still hurts from the wind, for sure. I went to Bandon Dunes 15 years ago, and I walked off every single golf course, never made it past hole four because the weather was so good. This week, all the locals, all the caddies talked about what great weather we had because the sun was out. The wind blows there every day. If you have a morning tee time, and like I did the second day, I went out and made 9 birdies, shot 6 under, low round of the day by a couple shots. Bandon Dunes with no wind is very gettable because it's short, and for a better players like myself and those guys that played, we can manage our way around and, miss some of the big trouble areas. But when that wind starts to blow, I mean, I stood in the fairway on number 7, or yeah, 7 the other day from 91 yards out and tried to figure out how to hit the green, and I walked away with a double bogey from 91 yards in the middle of the fairway.
Unbelievable.
I would never go back to Bandon Dunes unless there was a tournament or unless the trip was paid for with the right group of guys. And the only reason I would go, I would not go, and I would not care how I play. I would want to see the carnage that Bandon Dunes causes the average golfer because I know what it does to elite players. Every shot has to be hit so precise and with such precision and with such thought that I was so tired from 100 yards trying to figure out how to hit a green. And at Bandon Dunes, the greens are massive. And it's just, if you miss by 1 foot in the wrong direction, your ball ends up 70 yards away. Off the
Yeah.
tee, Bandon Dunes is very easy. It's wide open. I mean, hit it, send it. There's maybe a couple holes that you got to be a little, but the approach shot is so crucial and critical.
Yeah.
And they're booked 16 months out. Like, it's incredible to me because
Well,
there's
and then the other
no.
thing too, the other thing about it is, and I'm not here to, berate Bandon Dunes or anything, but I've been very outspoken over the years at, that these golf courses, like Bandon Dunes, like other golf courses around the country, some of them hosting major events, are absolutely totally unaffordable for the average player. They
Yes.
simply can't afford to go. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars to play, and of course you have to wait forever and time your vacation or whatever. And I'm just so opposed to that. I want golf courses to be available for everybody to be able to go play, men and women alike. And there's just so many that are not anymore, Charlie.
COVID, in my opinion, COVID saved the game of golf. Golf
It
was a
did.
dying. It saved it, but now it's ruining it because, us being here in Arizona, the prices of golf are so outrageous. But the
Yeah.
problem is that we're a destination spot, so all these people visit and make it darn near impossible for the working class, the guy that wants to go play on the weekend, to go play because you don't want to pay those kind of green fees to go get your butt kicked, and it's
Yeah.
so it saved the game, but at the same time, it kind of ruined the game in my opinion.
When you put it into perspective, I saw you at 5 under, then you went to 3 under, you tied for the lead at the end of the day, and then the next day was just a brutal day for you, and you finished just outside. What was it? T21. So just outside the 20 that get to go play in the PGA Championship. And I don't know. Have you played in the PGA before?
I have, yes, sir.
Okay. Bob, take over. Couple more questions only because Charlie's got to get to the tee. Two questions.
Charlie,
Yes, sir.
your colleagues in the PGA of America consider that the major for their careers. Those that have never played before in majors, they shoot for it. What have you noticed in the overall quality of play in the last few years that you've been watching this championship?
Very, I was very impressed. One, in the championship, the setup, the way the PGA of America ran it, I thought they knocked it out of the park. There was one hole that was 480 into the wind that on a par four that nobody could get home in two on. That was the only thing guys were complaining about. But guess what? Just change it in your brain to a par five, and if you make four, you pick up strokes. If you make bogey, you tie the field. So not a big deal. But I got to tell you, the level of play far exceeded what I thought it was going to be. There are a lot of great players that are teaching pros, head pros, GMs. Ben Kern, a great friend of mine that shoots five under, makes the cut on the number at Bandon Dunes, shoots five under early in the morning on third round, moves up to tied for second. We got to play together on the last day. He played a great round of golf, almost won the golf tournament. But that just reminded me, I mean, every guy that I watched around those 5 or 10 groups around the leader, they're golfers. They're great players, you know, but there's a fine line between making it to the big stage and being a club pro or being a mini tour player. It's just you didn't play well at the right time. And the level of play out there was far superior than I thought. So maybe shame on me for thinking that players weren't as good. There are not only quality players, but they're all quality individuals and humans. And I truly, after that experience that I just had, I feel honored to be a part of the PGA of America. As before that week, I just kind of felt like, oh, it was another notch on my belt. And now I feel honored to be associated with all these great men and women who do the grunt work that make the game of golf possible.
Well, there's so many great players out there, guys. And I mean, the thing is that they're club pros or teaching pros, and they have 90% of their time is spent doing that. Look at Jesse Mueller. He runs the Grand Canyon University Championship Golf Course. I mean, I don't know how he does what he does, but he has played in so many events. And in fact, Jesse Mueller, a couple of 3 years ago, won this PGA Club Championship. And again, he's been on so many times. I mean, if he was able to practice more and be out there more, I would imagine he would have his card and be playing on tour, as some of these other guys would as well. Don't you agree?
You know, like I said earlier, I think there's a lot of guys that have the talent to be out there, but when the bell rings on the biggest stages,
Okay.
things change. Things change. But physical talent-wise, absolutely 100%. But there's a little bit more than that, you know, more to it than that. But
Mental.
mental's the big thing. You know, I have so many college kids that come to me and I watch them play and they have 10 times the talent that I ever had, but I'm going to smoke them because they're just not mature mentally enough. And you know, that's why you see when you see I just had this conversation. When you see all these club pros go to the PGA Championship, or you see each week these Monday qualifiers shoot 62 and get in to the PGA Tour and then they miss the cut. It's because these guys have never been in that arena. And when you go out there for the first time on a PGA Tour event, much less a major, you're now looking at guys on the range that you've idolized and watched on TV. But then you're playing in front of 50,000 people and you can't feel your hands. And so that's why you see these guys that have all the talent in the world make it to these stages but never have success, because you need a lot of reps in order to feel somewhat comfortable out there.
Charlie, the PGA Tour is in a state of transition, a state of flux. They've got elevated events clustered together between majors. They've got no more fall finish. Numerous events have been canceled or completely deleted from the schedule. For example, next year, and we won't really know till June when they release the schedule. But there's so many players that are journeymen or maybe new young players, they're not going to have a place to play and make money. What do you make of
No.
what's going on? Final question.
If I'm being totally honest, which I always am,
Be honest.
I haven't watched golf on TV since LIV came out because I was so disgusted in the way that the PGA Tour players and leaders of the tour handled the situation. I have no problem with LIV. We're independent contractors that want to go play golf somewhere else. I see no issue with that. I'm most heartbroken for the new guys that have gotten to the PGA Tour that are now getting seven starts. Like, good luck to you. And you know they you know everybody criticized LIV for no cut events, you know, this and that. Well, what are we doing? We're now limiting the fields, we're adding no cut events, we are becoming LIV. I think that the PGA Tour and its players have benefited big time because the purses have grown exponentially in order to try to keep up with it. But right now, I feel that the PGA Tour is lost. I've now listened to the new CEO, or commissioner, whatever you want to label him, speak a few times, and I actually really like what he has to say. They're in a tough spot, man, but I think that getting a PGA Tour card is just as hard now as hitting the Powerball, and then staying out there is even harder. It is, in my opinion,
Staying out.
the hardest profession to make it. However, once you get in that top 50 in the world and you're into every elevated event and you're into every major and you're able to pick and choose, I don't think it's ever been easier to stay in the top 50. But for a new guy trying to make his way, and what makes me even more sick is look at the Korn Ferry Tour. These guys are going to podunk towns, spending a fortune. They have a $1 million purse where you can make the cut on the second best tour, maybe in the world, and you can lose money. That is not fair, in my opinion. The
No.
PGA Tour wouldn't even miss if they added $1 million more to where these guys were playing for $2 million a week and could actually pocket some money. They wouldn't even miss it, but they're not doing that. And I don't see the PGA Tour as their motto. Oh, we're growing the game. I think they're shrinking the game exponentially. I think the PGA of America is doing a wonderful job in growing the game through gentlemen like myself and that, but it's become a power hungry, money hungry organization, in my opinion. And that's why last year when I joined the Grass League, I had no problem giving up my PGA Tour membership because I do not agree with and stand with what the PGA Tour is now represented as.
All right, Charlie has 45 seconds, Dr. Bob. Final question from you.
Charlie, when you get on the practice tee and the teaching tee, what are you seeing in the young people that you come in contact with? Are we seeing at some different levels in the high school ranks or the early college ranks you could speak about?
These kids in high school and college are light years beyond where I was when I even got my PGA Tour card. I don't know if I came out now, if I would even be able to make it. That's how good these kids are. It's truly just, they hit it so far. They hit it straight. You know, a lot of that has to do with equipment. These kids are starting younger. For me, I love teaching the 80 to 100 golfer. That's, you know, for the better players, I'm working on your mental game, but the 80 to 100 golfer, and here is what I see, is we have to get back to the fundamentals. Everybody watches YouTubes and try to get in these certain positions. Well, guess what? You play golf once a week. You are not going to get there. As a guy that was, you know, top 60 in the world at one time, when I wanted to make a change, I had to spend 50 or 100 hours with the coach, and I knew what I was doing. And these people think that they're going to change their golf swing from a few YouTube videos. So my piece of advice is make sure you have a good grip, make sure you're aligning yourself up correctly, because then your brain will help you achieve the success. But if you're going to find somebody on YouTube, find one person and stick to them and at least give it a chance. You can't have one swing thought on the tee and another in the fairway and another on the next hole. You're just making the game harder than it needs to be.
Well, if you're in Phoenix, Arizona, you want to find Charlie Belgian. There he is. And he's out at Los Cindes Golf Club, a beautiful golf club out in Mesa, one of my favorite tracks in the city and the metropolitan area. Charlie, thank you so very much. I know you've got to get to your next lesson. Thank you so much for joining us today. The folks here on Great American Golf Radio podcast, I know have enjoyed this. I'm getting comments already. And I can't wait to have you on the next time, Charlie.
Thank you, sir, for having me. Have a wonderful day.
All right, there he
Thanks.
is. What a great guy, Bob. And right from the heart, you're not going to get any minced words. He tells it to you just like it is. And I so appreciate Charlie. I've been following him for quite a while. Charlie doesn't know this. And sometime when he and I are talking together, I'll tell him the story of how I got into a big bunch of, well, let's just say not trouble, but I was reprimanded because I was invited to go up to the lunchroom at a tournament Charlie was playing in, the player lunchroom, and I was going to be speaking to his dad about getting an interview with Charlie. And his caddy brought me up there, and I was immediately reprimanded for being there. Even though I was invited up by the caddy, I never did get to talk to Charlie. But his father was very nice to me at the moment. And then when I went downstairs and he mentioned his name, Webb Simpson was coming out. And I got a word with Webb Simpson, a quick exit interview from Webb. But because we were standing about 10 feet away from this little roped off area where you're supposed to stand to interview players, I got reprimanded again. And I will tell you that I never went back to that tournament again. It was absolutely the most ridiculous thing in the world. I'll say that only to say that Charlie Belgian is it just he's one of my favorite guys to follow with all of his videos and everything. He just does a great job. It's all from the heart. He gives you lessons. He does videos that gives you his free lessons, swing tips, and things like that. So I highly suggest everybody find Charlie Belgian out there on social media and follow him like I do. All right, Bob, we are going to we have a few more minutes before we go to a break. Actually, we don't. We're going to take a break right this minute. And when we come back in just a moment, please listen to these very important sponsors' messages for you and your game. We appreciate you so very much. And we'll be back in just a moment after you hear these special sponsor messages.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, greetings and welcome back, everybody. That's right, we're here. Dr. Bob Denny is here. I'm here, Ray Adams. Can't wait to be with you. And these shows, my Great American Golf Saturday show, my Monday Golf Lifestyle show, all appear on their days at the golfnewsnet.com. Golfnewsnet.com. You want to go there. Ryan Ballingy, the owner and purveyor. He is a great writer. He's a great interviewer. And he runs such an amazing website at the golfnewsnet.com. We'll have Ryan on with us here coming up soon. He wrote a great article today. Go to the Golf News Net and make sure you read it about these elevated events and so many of them being between two majors and kind of clustered together. He has an idea and a way to do a different kind of a schedule. And I thought it was an excellent article. Go read that at thegolfnewsnet.com and make sure you follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube by using Match Play TV. There are a number of videos that are being posted this weekend, and I think you're going to really enjoy several of those videos that are going to be posted up on YouTube and the other platforms. And by the way, I'm at Ray Adams on LinkedIn. Simply Ray Adams, but Match Play TV on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Okay, Dr. Bob, we're back. They want a nugget. They're asking me for a nugget.
The winner of the PGA Professional Championship this past Wednesday, not weekend, was Wednesday, was Jesse Dromer of Southern Texas PGA, 4 under par.
Yep.
Ben Kern just missed out on making history, being the first to ever be on the number to make the cut and then win the championship. He's from Northern Ohio, used to be in Texas. He was a low professional when I was at the in Belle Reve in back in 2016. And Ben was just emblematic of how tough it is when under any circumstances of trying to hit that green. His approach on 17 sort of reminded me of Tom Watson at Turnberry when he would hit that wedge he thought was perfect, went over the green, you couldn't recover from it. But back to my little nugget here, in the history of the PGA champion professional championship, 16 sections had a representative win the championship. This week, 14 sections are taking a representative to the PGA championship at Aronimink in May, and this month, I should say, coming up. And 14 of those sections, it's interesting to see where the power and the strength of the body of the PGA of America is. So it's a select field, Ray, and everybody has to perform like Charlie said, it's a precision game. And sometimes the ball falls in your court and other times it doesn't. So more power to those guys, and congratulations to Jesse Dromer of Southern Texas. He follows such names as Tim Thielen and Omar Uresti from that section. So three individuals from the Southern Texas PGA are among the five total representative years that section has triumphed in the largest professional championship in golf, 312 players.
Wow, that's a great nugget and lots of history there. I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes, Squairz, for bringing this segment to us today. And they're saying, hey, don't forget mom on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up here soon. They've got free 2-day shipping to get it there in time. If you order by Wednesday, May the 6th, it'll be there. They say mom shows up for everyone else. This is your moment to show up for her. Whether she's walking 18 or owning the kitchen, get her the shoes that will improve her game and showcase her style. Whether mom loves to play pickleball, they're there at squares.com. If she loves to play golf, they're there at squares.com. Everything for mom and you ladies, they're at squares.com. And, well, for everybody else as well. And there's a couple of players on the PGA Tour, Mr. Raytan, one of them. We might mention him again later, but we now have Squares back on the PGA Tour. So don't forget to get to Squares, Squairz. And there's some big news coming out of Tour Edge Golf. Can't wait to be able to talk to you about what's coming. It's a big secret right now. I can't say a word, but very, very soon we'll be talking some new information and new products from Tour Edge at touredge.com. All right, Bob. What about this leaderboard over at Doral? The blue monster, Donald Trump's golf course.
Yes, the blue monster. I've been around it many times. It's always got great finishes. Usually in the last hole, we remember the great moments, Craig Perry, and obviously with Phil and Tiger. I looked at that leaderboard when it could start the weekend, and I was impressed with Cameron Young and how well he was playing. And I just got a feel that this is going to be his week in some way, shape, or form. Well, I just feel he's got that ability to tackle it. He goes about his business so well, and obviously there'll be chasers coming up. But I'm looking at him right now, and I really like the way he's doing it. 13 under after two rounds. And
13
I just,
under.
Yes,
right.
I just think it's very solid.
I think we could both go way out on a limb and say, hey, Cam Young is our guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to have to stumble And then you've got, Smalley, you've got Nick Taylor, Jordan Spieth is there. Gary Woodland is playing good golf. Great to see Gary continue to play some great golf. So there's a lot of players that might have something to say about it, but I don't know. I mean, if Cam plays some fabulous golf on Saturday today, I think it's over for everybody because I don't see him. I don't really see him slipping at all.
The Blue Monster is not the monster that the TPC Sawgrass is.
Well, no, but why is it the monster? Why is it the blue monster?
Well, it's like a little water out there,
Yeah.
but they did do revisions to it about 15 years ago or so that opened up with different trees out of the way and everything. And to me, it made it a little more wide open. The par threes are excellent. I just felt it held its own in the 60s and 70s. But to me, I don't think that, to be honest, I just don't think the teeth was right there that it used to have. That's my envision of it. I saw it tougher in the past with when the wind blows. If we had Jim McLean on this program, he would obviously give his view on it, be much more studious about it than I am giving it. But when I walked around it, to be honest with you, I was just feeling this is not the teeth that I was expecting.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of players have struggled with it over the years. Others have mastered it. It is whatever it is nowadays. It is a Trump property. And I'm noticing, though, that when you look at this list of players, 75 or so, no cut, elevated event, another one, that some names are not there. They had to pick and choose their schedule. And they cannot be in every event, even every elevated event, Bob. And that's what
That's
Ryan
right.
Ballingee wrote about today at thegolfnewsnet.com. And people need to go read that. But what do you make of it that some big name players just said, hey, sorry, I've got to skip this?
Just sort of go back to what Charlie Beljan manages. It's the money that has made these guys a little more comfortable about their schedules. The fact they're sandwiched among two signature events with the Truist Championship coming up right after this at Quail Hollow, and the PGA Championship follows that. So, how these players want to pace themselves and prepare for a major, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's not the purse anymore that makes an it's just how well it affects their own schedule and their lifestyle, how it affects their health. Some of these people obviously don't want to go through burnouts, and nobody wants to play X number of weeks in a row, to be honest with you. But it's where it's positioned on the calendar for this current season is a hindrance. And the PGA Championship's coming up right after the Truist Championship.
Well, Ryan writes about it, and I'll give everybody a little bit of a spoiler, but you really need to go to thegolfnewsnet.com and read his article today. I thought it was just excellent. He talks about the PGA Championship needs to be moved back to August.
That's nice. I'm sorry, but it's not going to
Well,
happen.
what do you make of it? It was there for decades.
Yeah, it was moved for a big reason,
Well,
Ray.
they moved it for
Yeah.
the Olympics.
Well, they moved it because it also gets lost in football in the August too. Yeah, it gets really lost.
Well, I don't know what
Really.
football's in August other than some
No.
exhibition
The
games.
voice of the championship is was never strong in August after a while. And it tailed out after Tiger's run, to be honest with you. And the weather was awful in August, brutal. And it's bringing into more unique golf course opportunities around the country because of the type of year that we're having. Excuse me, the climates at this time of year. So it's never going to be go back, at least in my lifetime.
I don't think it will either, but that was just an interesting article
What,
and
Ray,
some
I
interesting
can also
thinking.
interrupt you that
Go
even though
ahead.
he's writing a story about that. About the time of the event, when I was in the early part of my career at the PGA of America, they're saying, well, we want to bring back match play to the PGA Championship. Now, that was totally ridiculous. And some of the greatest finishes we've ever had came in medal play with John Daly in 1991, all the way through Tiger. You can name them one bam, 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 bam. Even the people who are not drawing much attention, Sean McKeel had a wonderful championship finish. We'll always forget, remember, Glory's last shot. So We can say, oh, the PGA has to do this. We got to take it around the world. We have to make it match play. We have to put it in a better climate. Leave
Well,
it
if they ever made
alone.
it match play,
Leave it alone.
right. I would agree with you. Leave it alone and let it be what it is. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. We have a few minutes, and I'm not going to beat this to death. Don't let me, because I'm liable. But Craig Renshaw sent me an article the other day, and you've read the article, and we're talking about it coming out that the PGA of America has pretty much shut down. And I had a very long talk with Don Rae, the president of the PGA of America, recently. I've known Don for 20 years. I'm not at liberty to talk about anything that we talked about. And by the way, it was all very positive. And Don, of course, as president of the PGA of America, very positive about the PGA and the 30,000 members and the work that he's doing. So there was nothing negative about it, but it was a very nice long talk. But now comes this article from Sports Business Journal, and it says in the caption that many felt that Don Rae overstepped at the PGA Championship in Charlotte. And I don't understand what that one is all about. The bottom line is, and I was at Bethpage for the Ryder Cup, and it was comments from Don about the Ryder Cup at the Ryder Cup, and then I think a couple of things after that, that has caused Don to be literally shut down. He's still the president, he has certain duties. He's able to go to various sections, but he is not able to give any interviews whatsoever, not even about his own golf course that he owns here in Phoenix. He is not going to be, he did not give away the trophy at the club championship Wednesday. He is not going to be at the PGA championship. They're saying that his comments at the Ryder Cup were controversial. He was removed from the PGA Tour policy board earlier this year. He is in his second year, and in November, he goes to the honorary president position. He is not expected to be anywhere, really at all. And there are all kinds of high-profile moments for the PGA. Don will not be there. He was criticized for initially failing to apologize in September after unruly crowds hurled insults at the European Ryder Cup team at Bethpage Black. He later apologized after a public blowback, the article says. And a video of Don Rae doing karaoke to Eminem's Lose Yourself song went viral on Saturday night of the matches, with Europe holding an insurmountable 7-point lead. Gee, Bob, Don danced on a Saturday night. What was he supposed to do? Go to the local funeral home and go into mourning? Europe beat the pants off of us. I was there. I watched it. It was over Saturday night. There was no hope, and everybody knew it, including the European team, who I think probably played the way they did, and the Americans won a bunch of points on Sunday. Great for the American team. I love my American team. I want them to win. But my goodness gracious, I mean, Bob, you tell me, where am I going wrong? What did he do that was so bad that they have banned him?
Ray, I look back on way politics is run in this country, and if you make any statements out of the ordinary, you get thrown into a cauldron of a gauntlet of things. And I will look back upon many different things that have happened in the PGA's past, and I go way back. I'm not bringing up names at this point, but I do know that whenever it comes to a point where a group in the board of directors room are at odds with a leader, it's not a good thing. And I think public relations and the perceptions of how we are in front of a camera, what we say on radio, what we say on a podcast, are always going to be under the microscope, even more so now in the age of social media where everything is magnified. And I will say this, that no matter where you are, you are really under the microscope now. And it's tougher to be a leader in any organization. And because of what you just said, to your point, wouldn't claim to be anything to be a charge or in a courtroom or like that. It wouldn't be anything to be a misdemeanor or anything like that. It's just thrown into where this organization, this association has tried to work with, and that is an officer is a volunteer on his assignment for 6 years, going from all the different levels, secretary to vice president to president. And they have to deal with so many people, so many different personalities. You think a club professional has it tough in a private club when he deals with the members on a daily basis? This is 30,000 of them. So
Right.
that's the way I look at it, Ray, without bringing up any personalities, without taking sides.
No.
You have to be under the microscope. It's horribly difficult.
Okay, well, let me say this, and then you can tell me where I'm going wrong. Who puts together the Ryder Cup for the PGA of America when it's in on American soil, such as last fall? Who does that?
And what level are you talking about puts together? What do you mean?
Who puts on the Ryder Cup when it's on American soil? It's the PGA of America.
Yeah.
But who does it?
Who
Are
does it?
there like 10 people? Is there,
Oh,
well, no,
no.
I know there's 1,000
Yeah.
volunteers and I know
Yeah.
there's years of work and all of that, but somebody somewhere has to take the leadership role. Now, whether it's a committee or a group of people,
Oh, yeah.
somebody somewhere has to be looking into it and the venue, making that decision and all of that. Who does it? Is that the policy board?
Without using a better name for branding, it's a task force. Without using that in quotes,
Okay.
they
All
used to
right.
have that task force, but those are the people who actually set it up
Okay.
when they decide upon on a venue,
Okay.
and then there's multiple committees after that.
Sure,
You
sure.
name it. You name it.
But they're all those committees report to at least a very select few that are absolutely making all final decisions. So here's what I was going to say. Now, this took months to come to me because I've been musing about the Ryder Cup. One of my worst experiences covering any golf tournament in my 26-year history of covering a golf tournament. I'm not beating up on the PGA and I'm not beating up on the Ryder Cup. I love the Ryder Cup. It is my favorite event every 2 years, by far and away, of any other event out there. It's the Ryder Cup. Everybody knows I love it. But I'm going to say these words after a long time thinking. If those people who were in position to make all the decisions about the Ryder Cup, not only going to Bethpage, but then running that tournament, putting it together and running that event, if they did not know what was going to be happening at Bethpage as far as the crowds, the difficulty of getting in and out of the place, if they did not see that coming, they're inept and they all need to be resigned today. Out, gone. I don't care if you're on salary. I don't care if you're a vol I don't care who you are. If you were in charge of putting the Ryder Cup together at Bethpage and you didn't see it coming, you're inept. You got to go. If you did see it coming and you did nothing about it, you got to go. Either way, you got to go. Now, that's what I'm saying. I'm one person out here standing alone in a wilderness with the wind blowing in my face, I guess. But if you knew it and you did nothing about it, you got to go. If you didn't know it, you're inept and you got to go. Now, you tell me, where am I going wrong? I was there. I heard the filth They knew it was going to happen. They knew it was going to be a difficult crowd. They knew that it was going to be raucous. What did they do? But now they've taken Don Ray and made him a scapegoat. Okay, maybe he stumbled over a few words. Who hasn't? They're hiding off in some room, not out there in the public. And yet, they let it happen. Go ahead, Bob. Mm-hmm. I can take it, whatever it is.
Ray, you shouldn't beat around the bush.
Well, it took me 6 months to figure this out.
Yes, I will say this. I knew that there was ways where people were thinking way before LIV Golf that Phil Mickelson might be the captain at Bethpage. And I know that was way before LIV Golf. Okay.
Yeah.
But they knew what that venue was like and what the crowds were like, because a New York crowd, you don't have to go to Madison Square Garden. You can go to Yankee Stadium anywhere. It's raucous, automatically.
But there are
raucous.
Other New York venues in the state of New York that are polite. They are nice venues. I was on the phone today with a great, great friend of mine who's a member of Rochester. And, you know, there's other great golf courses in the state of New York where you don't have this happen.
Right. Well, I was hearing more of the other side of, you can't wait until we see the American advantage when we get to Bethpage. It turned out to be a backfire. It was like a brush fire coming from the backyard in California, and you had no chance to stop it. And there was no water to put on it from an airplane. So that's what was the fast thing. But I asked this question, Ray, as we close the program. Is the PGA of America and all the friends of the PGA, which we consider ourselves as well, are they going to learn from this? Are they going to get better? We hope they will. We hope so.
Well, I think also picking the venues. If you pick the right venues, you're probably not going to have the problem. But even if you do pick a venue, you should be aware and ready for there to be an issue. And that issue is throw them out of the golf course. You make one wrong move at Augusta, you're out, including Mark Calcavecchia.
Yeah, that's heavier than church when you sit there in Augusta. That's
well, they
heavier.
Are the citadel. They are the monastery. They are the great cathedral of golf. One of them, anyway. And if you breathe wrong over there, you're out of there.
That's right.
They didn't do that at Bethpage.
Well, I guarantee you, there'll be a lot different atmosphere when they host at Hazeltine. We know that, and I played at Hazeltine. I've been up to Hazeltine for every major they've had since 1970, and it's going to be a whole new world up there, believe me. But you know, if we go back to our question, are we learning from it to make the game good? Because the people in the PGA of America, those 30,000 that get up every day to work and make the game better, those people deserve better. They deserve better.
They do. They absolutely do. And well, we wish Don Ray the best as he continues to serve the 30,000 members of the PGA of America. He will play out his term until November, and then after that, he'll be honorary president. We'll have Don on the show later next fall, this coming fall, and we'll talk to him a little bit about it. We're not going to beat up on anybody or anything, but, you know, Don will be free to talk, and we'll do that. It'll be a fun conversation with probably one of the most charismatic presidents they've had in decades. So pardon me, but I do like Don. I think he's a man of honor, a man of his word. Okay. We all make mistakes. I've made mine too. But anyway, all right. Well, listen, folks, there's Dr. Bob, and we hope that we'll get Craig back on with us coming up very soon. We've got a wonderful, wonderful weekend of golf that we're looking at. The ladies are playing down in Mexico, Bob, at Riviera Maya. My wife and I have stayed down there. Mm-hmm. We love it down there. It's a beautiful place, great golf course. And we've got the Champions Tour going at the major, the tradition. We've got a lot of great golf going on this weekend. So everybody have fun, get out and practice, play, and have a great time. Now, I just want to thank a couple of two or three of my sponsors. And one of them is, you know, when it comes time for your financial portfolio, obviously, everybody is very serious about that. And it doesn't matter if you're just finishing your college and getting into your career, and you want to start saving a few bucks every month, where do you put it so you get the best growth for your money invested? If you're middle-aged and you're changing careers or changing portfolios some way, or you're retired and you're looking for tax relief and other ways to invest your money, Caleb Jelsic is a young, highly educated, very skilled financial advisor. Caleb Jelsic is from Crimson Glory Advisory Group. You want to contact Caleb at 215-606-2459, 215-606-2459. Caleb Jelsic is your financial advisor, and he will help you through all of it. I also want to thank Legacy Golf Resort, golflegacyresort.com. They have so many great things coming up. Mother's Day coming up. Their food is fabulous. Their venues for weddings and events are fabulous. Jeremy Anderson runs the Legacy Golf Performance Center, where people that are just getting started in the game of all ages, by the way, all the way to tour pros go there for enhancing their game. What a practice facility they have at the Legacy Golf Performance Center, just north of Baseline Road on 32nd Street. You want to make sure you get to Legacy Golf Resort at go to golflegacyresort.com. And I also want to thank a couple of my Anthem only wonderful sponsors. Anthem Only is a segment that I do where I talk about keeping your dollars local. It doesn't matter if you live in Anthem or Phoenix or you live in San Diego or over in the Chicago suburbs or up in Maine or down in Miami by Doral Golf Club where they're playing golf. Anywhere you live, small town, big town, doesn't matter. Try to keep your dollars within 3 to 5 mile radius of where you live. That helps the tax base. It helps all of your businesses, the restaurants, all the other service providers that are in your local area. It helps the school tax base. It helps the charities, everything if you keep your dollars local. So make sure you do that. And that's why I call it Anthem Only, where I talk about keeping your dollars local here to Anthem, where this show comes from, up in the North Phoenix area, but it doesn't matter. It's your city. And I want to thank Legends Bar and Grill. They are a mainstay. If you're talking about a place that you want to go have a great lunch or a great dinner, and their homemade onion soup, my gosh, their French onion soup is beyond. I never had anything so good. And I've made it at home and it's good, but it's nothing like theirs. Their onion soup is unbelievable. I took a group of people the other night. We had dinner there and we started with the French onion soup. Everybody was bragging around about it for an hour. And then we had a great dinner. So many different things on the menu. The food is always good. The staff is friendly. The owners are right here. It's right here in Anthem, owned and operated. And I can only tell you that a Legacy Bar and Grill, the TVs are there for all your sports. People go there and have drinks, and it's a gathering place here in Anthem, and we love the Legacy Bar and Grill. So we thank them so much for being part of our Anthem Only. I think I mentioned Ziggy's Coffee the other day. All of their other drinks besides their coffee and their snacks, fabulous. Ziggy's is right on the other side of the I-17 freeway over by Walmart and in the same parking lot as O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Go to Ziggy's. You're going to love Ziggy's and you're going to have a lot of fun. They have great coffee and then all the other drinks and the goodies they have. You're going to love those. Well, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate having a great, great, great new business sponsoring this show. And that is Seared Living. Now, I've mentioned them several times. And Seared Living is over in Carefree. They're right there in the big post office building. That's where I go get my mail in Carefree all the time. Seared Living is taste elevated. It's a great shop of gourmet cooking and not just the foods, the olive oils, the balsamic vinegars, the seasoning, the sauces, but they have all the kitchenware and everything like that for aspiring chefs or master chefs or anyone who wants to make their home and their dinner party for their family or friends the best. Patty Deemers is the owner, and Seared Living, SEARED, SearedLiving.com, SearedLiving.com. Go there, find out about Seared, and you're going to find out why I walked in that shop in Carefree, in the post office building a couple of months ago, and I went, wow, we have needed a gourmet shop like this forever. Why did it take so long? Patty brought it. You're going to love it. SearedLiving.com. All right, folks, that's it. Have a wonderful, wonderful, fabulous weekend and enjoy everything golf. Get out and chip and putt and practice. Stay out of the heat. Make sure you wear your sunscreen. Make sure you hydrate. I say that almost every time. And we'll be back with you this coming Monday for the Golf Lifestyle Show in a couple of days.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.